Hail, glory of St. Patrick, dear saint of our isle. On us thy poor children bestow a sweet smile. Muggle your carja, la fela Patrick, we washa deepsha. Shaw Jerry Adams and Shaw, Augusta Sula Gomsa, Goel Shivsha, Gumoy. So, on International Women's Day, history was made in Belfast when two statues were unveiled at the front of the City Hall to two formidable Irish Republican women, Mirriam McCracken and Winifred Kearney. And despite the cold, hundreds of people gathered for the ceremony to applaud these two fearless women and the important initiative taken by Belfast City Council. Winifred Kearney was born in Bangor, but she was reared at 5 Falls Road. She qualified as one of the first lady secretaries and shorthand typists in Belfast and was a strong advocate for the rights of women and a committed socialist. She worked closely with James Connolly, and in 1913 she published Connolly's Manifesto of the Irish Textile Workers' Union to the linen slaves of Belfast. Kearney was also a member of the Cumann na Mban and the Irish Citizen Army. In 1916, she was the first woman to enter the GPO during the Rising. She worked closely with Connolly in preparing dispatches. When the GPO was evacuated, Kearney was with the wounded Connolly as he was carried to number 16 Moore Street on a stretcher. There were 5 of the signatories to the proclamation there, and that's the address in which they held their last meeting as the provisional government. Julia Grennan, Winifred Kearney, and Elizabeth O'Farrell, were present also. Following the surrender, Winifred Kearney was imprisoned in England. In 1922, she was imprisoned in Armagh jail. In 1928, she married George McBride. He was a former UVF volunteer and an Orange man, and he had fought in the First World War and was from the Shankill Road. Both he and Winifred were committed socialists, although they differed on the national question and the Rising. Winifred Kearney remained a committed trade unionist throughout her life. She died on November the 21st, 1943. Belfast Graves Association erected a headstone on her grave in Milltown Cemetery in 1985. Mirriam McCracken was born in Belfast in July 1770 to a wealthy Presbyterian family. She was a radical thinker, a social reformer, who was implacably opposed to slavery and poverty and an advocate for the rights of women. Her opposition to slavery was total. When Waddell Cunningham, a merchant, proposed in 1786 that the Belfast Slave Ship Company be established, the scheme was vehemently opposed by those who later established the United Irish Society. This and Thomas Paine's Rights of Man and the French and American Revolutions hugely influenced Mirriam, her brother Henry Joy McCracken, and all of those who came to form the United Irish Society in Belfast in October 1791. In July 1798, her brother Henry Joy was sentenced to be hanged for his part in the United Irish Rising. She was with him as he died. After the failure of the rebellion, Mirriam dedicated her life to many causes. The breadth of her interest in activism is remarkable. She helped provide education and apprenticeships for children through the Poor House Ladies Committee. In 1847, at the age of 77, she was one of those who established the Ladies Industrial School for the Relief of Destitution, with the aim of helping those suffering as a result of Ngaurta Moore, the Great Hunger. Her opposition was such that as a small, frail woman, she would hand out leaflets opposing slavery to those boarding vessels to sail to North America. Frail in body she might have been, but strong in heart and spirit she remained all her days. Mirriam McCracken died on July the 26th, 1866, aged 96. One of my finest possessions is a photograph of her given to me by my friend, Dr. Tom Hartley. So these two great women are now immortalised in statues in the front of Belfast City Hall. More women's battles won, more still to fight. So we've just celebrated International Women's Day, a day when all around the world, humankind celebrates the work of women who are active in their communities, in trade unions, voluntary organisations, businesses, politics, their families, and across every facet of our society. It's also a time to reflect on the long history of struggle by women for equality and fairness. In many aspects of life today, women remain second-class citizens in pay and employment rates, conditions of work, in access to education and health and in protection before the law. Hardly a week passes without evidence emerging of the extent to which women continue to face violence in the home, in the workplace and within communities. A fortnight ago, the Northern Assembly endorsed a motion calling on the executive to urgently implement a strategy and a framework to end violence against women and girls. During the debate, it was revealed that since 2021, the North has the joint highest rate of femicide in Europe, along with Romania. According to stats from the PSNI, between 2017 and 2022, 34 women and girls were killed by men. Many others faced other forms of violence, abuse and intimidation, both within their own homes and the wider community. Calling for a whole-of-society approach to tackling this, First Minister Michelle O'Neill said, "These women are not statistics. These women are our mothers, our sisters, our aunts, our daughters, our friends, our work colleagues, and they are us who have been speaking in this debate today. We must take action now to stop this violence, and we must never forget those who have been killed." Last year, almost 98% of women surveyed for a report into violence against women. Every Voice Matters, Violence Against Women in Northern Ireland, published by the Ulster University. This report revealed that they had experienced, that is, that women had experienced at least one form of violence or abuse in their lives. That's 96% of those surveyed in that report. A second report published by Queen's University, "It's Just What Happens, Girls." It's the views and experiences of girls and young women, found that 73% of girls aged 12 to 17 reported having experienced at least one form of violence in their lifetime. Now, Irish Republicans have long understood the connection between Irish freedom and equality and women's rights. From Anne Devlin to Anna Parnell, from Countess Margaret to Maura Drum, from Sheena Campbell to Mairead Farrell, whose anniversary was last week, there's an unbroken line of women who sacrificed all in the quest for freedom and equality and justice. I had the privilege of knowing some of this generation of Republican women activists. They were ordinary women, many little more than teenagers, like Patricia Black, an IRA volunteer, the last to be woman to be killed from that organisation, who at a time of great crisis and challenge for our people came forward to stand against injustice and to give leadership. At the end of this month, Irish Republicans will mark the 1916 Easter Rising. The proclamation of the Republic recognises the rights of women. It opens by addressing Irish men and Irish women and guarantees not just religious and civil liberty, but also equal rights and equal opportunities to all its citizens. A century later, the words of the proclamation are as relevant as ever in the lives of women in Ireland. Much of women's work today is undervalued, it is underpaid. Irish women are still disproportionately concentrated on low skill, low paid and part-time employment. Older women are more likely to live in social isolation. Traveller women face higher poverty, mortality and unemployment levels and power levels of and lower levels of educational attainment than their settled counterparts. Internationally, girls and women continue to face additional issues like female genital mutilation and arranged marriages. In Gaza, Over 8,000 women and girls have been killed in Israel in the Israeli government's genocide against the Palestinian people. Tens of thousands more have no access to health care or personal care because their health service has been destroyed. This is shameful. Women on the island of Ireland and all over the world have won many battles for equality over the past century, but there are further battles ahead. The struggle for justice and equality and equal rights will continue. So here on St. Paddy's Day, let me finish with a little poem. It's W.B. Yeats's. I will arise and go now, and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin built there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veils of the morning to where the cricket sings. There are midnights all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and the evening spool of the linnet's wings. I will arise and go now, for always day and night I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore, while I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's grey, I hear it in the deep heart's core. So there you are. What you learn at school sometimes stays with you. Gunyurian ta livsha mardurtme go Gunyurian ta livsha agus la fela padrik we waisha deepsha gulyur. Togo bogay shinawel slan agus banak ti gulyur.